if you come across a car accident and the people are lying on the road and there's a baby who is lying there and you know...
And they're a heathen.
And yeah, and they have not been baptized, then you, as a little kid, can bless some water and baptize the baby.
I wish you would. With my last dying breath, I would shield my child from that. And be like, someone tried to throw water on my kid when we were on a hot road. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So I want to kick off with an item that I've been holding on to. I'm quite proud of this one because Katie actually predicted this one months ago, maybe even a year ago.
Oh, my gosh.
This is for some extremely unpopular technology.
Okay.
Extremely unpopular technology.
See, I've got my finger on the pulse of the scientific community.
Of the digital world.
Yeah.
It says, this is from the Daily Dot. Kentucky man shoots down drone spying on his 16-year-old daughter.
There we go.
See, this is exactly what happened. It says, where should we draw the line between the advancement of technology and the protection of privacy? For one Kentucky man, his property line is where he gets to make the call, and he made that point perfectly clear when he pointed a shotgun at a drone hovering. So, for one Kentucky man, his property line is where he gets to make the call. He made that point perfectly clear when he pointed a shotgun at a drone hovering in his backyard and pulled the trigger.
Oh,
so this is the guy, he did an interview. I was just right there. It was hovering. I wouldn't never have shot it down if it was flying, but because it was hanging around over his property. And he said, when the drone came down with a video camera over my back deck, I thought, that's not going to work.
Yeah. No kidding.
So he said, he claims it was... hovering over his neighbor's house, and his neighbor confirmed that. And he had no intentions of taking anything until it hovered over to his property where his 16-year-old daughter was lying out at the pool.
Yep.
Just exactly as you said, that young men, or maybe this is a young woman looking at another one, we don't know, that young people will use it to peep on other people who are sunbathing. Then the drone pilot decided to stop it over the girl, and it hovered over her. So then the homeowner went in and fetched his shotgun. I think this is funny because I guess there's limited stuff you can see apparently on the drone when you're flying it. Because he saw the girl, but he didn't see the guy going back into his house and getting
he's
a shotgun.
On the girl, like, yep, I'm so slick, he's saying.
Yes, no one's going to notice this big-ass drone hanging over a girl. So he took, he pumped 3 helpings of birdshot right into the drone.
Good.
It took it out of the air. And then then shortly afterwards, the 3 idiots show up there like, hey, man, what's going on with our drone?
Yeah. It's good. Down. They called the cops.
And he said, if you cross the sidewalk on my property, there's going to be another shooting.
Good.
Boom. So the police eventually arrived, and the guy was charged with, he got charged with first-degree criminal mischief. And
he got charged?
Yes.
Why? Because it's in his yard.
But this is the thing. How do you know that that's not... Like, I think it's a safe assumption to think that that's a threat.
Yes,
right? If
absolutely.
If there's a drone hanging over your daughter on your property.
This is the thing that kills me. It's like... but it's in the air. They're not actually on your property. It's like, no, that's your property.
It's still,
that's your airspace.
Yeah,
that's
you
your
have
privacy.
Some... Like, up to a... It's not like it was hundreds of feet in the air.
Yeah.
Like, it was flying, I'm assuming, pretty low because it's a drone. So the police eventually arrived. They charged him, and the guy is, like, confident that the charge is going to be reduced or thrown out. And here's an update to the original story. Following the original news story, drone pilot has come forward to what he claims is the flight data of the trip that ended in disaster. Speaking with Kentucky's WDRB, that's like the worst station ever. The drone's operator, David Boggs, has provided a video record of the drone's movement, appearing to show that it was over 200 feet in the air at the time it was shot down. He claims that he was flying the drone to film a friend's home, and that the trip over to the Meredith's property had nothing to do with his daughter being outside, and I had probably looking pretty cute in a bikini by the pool minding her own fucking business.
Right.
Then they said they'll update the story, but I couldn't find any more updates.
Well, if anything flies off your house, I think what we should call this, like, the legal system has to keep up with technology and make the laws accordingly. And we're going to call this the cutesy-cutesy law.
Okay.
All right? So if you want to get cutesy-cutesy with anybody and fly a drone onto their property and videotape what's going on, videotape it.
Yes.
you know, then whatever happens to that drone is, it's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad.
And that's going to be the cutesy-cutesy law.
But I think it goes along with the tried and true law of, like, what happens when you kick your ball into your neighbor's yard? It's gone.
Yeah.
Like, unless you have a good relationship with your neighbor.
Right.
You know, you can't just go, you can ask, can I come over there and get it?
Yeah.
And they can say, no.
And that's,
and then
it.
That's the end of it.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have thought about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Or it's like when you're riding in the back seat of the car with your sibling, and your sibling is sticking their finger up in your face, and you're saying, Mom, tell him to stop touching me. Well, he's not touching you, but he's got his finger right there next to your eye going,
cutesy, cutesy laws apply.
Yeah. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching
you.
It's like, what is the law? Like, stay away? Well, they're sitting right next to each other. How can you stay away when you're right next to each other?
That's
the cutesy-cutesy.
That's a weird
factor.
Sibling thing. I remember when I was a little kid hanging out with some of my friends who had siblings and seeing them do that, and I was like, why would you ever put your finger in somebody's face like that? Surely they have the option to bite that off.
Yeah.
Or swat at it.
Yeah. You're going to get a
And then the parents don't say anything. It's like, he's not touching you. If I were the parent, I would grab that finger.
And break it.
And break it, yeah.
I would do something.
That's not cool.
It's a, whatever happens, if you're going to be that, you're going to get in a proximity of somebody where it's where you're making them uncomfortable,
but this
where
is,
you shouldn't be.
But this is a privacy issue because this young girl, it doesn't matter if it's a young girl or not, it doesn't matter who it is, somebody is doing something in their on their property, and I think they have an expectation to privacy at this point. Like, even on Google, if they go by you, they blur out the faces.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that it's not...
Yeah, this is a privacy thing. Just because you can get in by air, just because you're not in foot or in a car or by any other means, you're still there looking. If you're there looking,
and
however you got there can be broken.
And it said it's an $1,800 drone, so I bet it was like pretty technologically advanced.
Yeah.
He could really see a lot, but also he could probably control it.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you, like where my mom is, if we see a drone fly over and I can grab it,
it's
mine.
Oh, yeah. That I am 100% for that.
Yeah. It looked like it was in my property. So, therefore, it is my drone.
Hovering by a window.
Yes.
Hovering over your...
Can you imagine you're brushing your teeth and all of a sudden you're just like, what the fuck? Really?
Yeah.
No, dude. It's fine.
Yeah.
Leave it. Yeah. I like this guy. I like that he...
What? I'm not on your property. I'm in the air.
But he went out there with birdshot, which is pretty funny. I mean, that just goes everywhere. So, he just, like, blasted this thing out of the sky. And then the idiots come over like, hey, what happened? I'm like, you really? You just saw your vehicle shot out of the sky. You really going to go over to investigate that anytime soon? I'd probably just either, write it off or just try to get the thing to, like, fly out of there. Anyway, so, yeah. Katie predicted that one and it's come to fruition.
Yeah.
Man shoots down drone spying on 16-year-old daughter. Go Kentucky,
good.
I guess. All right. What do you have?
Well, and we have your listener mail.
Excellent. So, what do we say for listener mail? We haven't had a listener mail in a while. I forgot what the spiel was.
I know. You can just say, if you are a listener, you'd like to contact us, send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to read it on the air.
Yeah.
We used to have
we used to have a shot glass program.
Yeah.
I was a shotgun because I'm thinking about that drone thing. We have our own bird shot. But we'll read it on the air. And if we don't read it on the air, we'll at least respond to you.
Yeah. We'll respond to everybody and thank them.
Yeah.
But this is what... With this email is from Agent Jackson.
Special Agent Jackson from Operation Cubicle.
Yes, who unfortunately, he was scheduled to be here today, but due to unforeseen circumstances, cannot make it.
I know. I had all this penis news lined up.
He's missing out. So in lieu of his presence, we're going to read his email that he sent us.
Great. Are you going to do his voice or are you just going to read it?
I'm not going to do his voice.
Okay. I don't know. I want to feel like he's here.
You can just imagine.
Yeah.
So he writes to us and says, dear Prudy, help. My atheist husband uses Thanksgiving grace to rant about God.
Oh, God.
Okay. And, full disclosure, it is actually the day before Thanksgiving, that we're recording this.
No, that's
so
right.
So it's timely now. When you're hearing this, it's not going to be timely.
But save it for next year.
Yeah.
It happens every year.
Yeah. Or any family gatherings.
Yeah.
You can just kind of apply it any Sunday, any holiday.
I'm curious to hear this. I'm an atheist. I don't mind grace. I just look around. Like when it's happening. I don't care.
Yeah, right.
Unless
it's
long.
Right.
Some people do the really long. My mom, he said when she was a kid, that my uncle, her brother, would do these long, rambling races to the point where people were like, come on now.
It's like, stop it.
Yeah.
It's just to hear the sounds of your own voice.
Yeah. He does them kind of long now, but it's more about the universe. Okay, so what do you have?
So here it is. Thanksgiving. The question is, dear Prudy, Thanksgiving will soon be here. You know, and today is Drinksgiving.
Yes. I'm starting soon.
Or Blackout Wednesday.
Blackout Wednesday.
Yeah. So Thanksgiving will be here soon. Each year we gather for a festive and warm time at my parents' home with my siblings and all of our other spouses and children.
Mm-hmm. Sounds awful.
My family are Christians who are active in the Episcopal Church. Mm-hmm. Faith is a very positive experience for us and inspires us to be good to others.
I never think of Episcopal as being very rabid.
Yeah.
People I know who are Episcopals, like, you barely know.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to...
Yeah, it's like, here's something about God, but here's something also about, like, philosophy and, you know what I mean? Like, in history.
Yeah. My husband is an atheist. Last year, to everyone's shock, he volunteered to give the blessing at Thanksgiving. However...
start with Darwin. And the origin of the species.
According to my calculations, some of you are not going to make it to the end of this meal.
Yes.
However, instead of a prayer, he took us all by surprise with a 2-minute rant about the myth of God.
Okay.
Everyone was upset, and it ruined the meal.
They let him go on?
Yeah.
Episcopalians. Right?
My, they were polite. They're like,
maybe
huh?
He's going somewhere with this.
Right.
Why not? Let's see.
My husband just sat there with a grin on his face and ate. This caused...
Okay.
This caused numerous arguments between us since. I respect his non-belief, but it's his, but not his in-your-face approach.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, he just informed me he plans to wear a t-shirt to Thanksgiving this year with a dead frog nailed to a cross with the words, "He died for you."
What does that even mean?
Oh, no. I was like, why a frog?
Okay.
Well, we had a fight to outdo all other fights. Still, okay. He insists on wearing the t-shirt for all to see on Thanksgiving.
I mean, I guess it's no worse than somebody wearing a big-ass cross. I don't know. Yeah.
He admits he wants to see my family blow a gasket. Mm-hmm. Please give me some coaching on how to be direct with him. Frankly, Prudence, if he follows through with this childishness, it may cause me to leave him.
Okay. Now, is she a Christian?
She's a Christian, yeah.
So how does she marry an atheist? How does that work?
Yeah, love is love. The heart wants what it wants.
I don't know if I could be, like, married to someone who is, like, deep into their religion. Yeah. That would be weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And don't you kind of have to be on the same page on that?
Well, there's people who, who have different politics, too.
But what about the religious people? Aren't they afraid that this guy's going to go to whatever they think happens after? Like, aren't they concerned about his soul or whatever they think?
Okay. Sure they are. Of course they are.
Why don't they just pray for him, then?
Yeah.
Pray for the shirt, too. Okay, let's see what it says.
The answer, she says, I wish you had explained if your husband is a massive jerk the other 364 days a year. I am doubting that your doubter only enjoys making others squirm on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
What he did is grotesque, and if he can't see he was wrong and needed to apologize, he must have redeeming qualities that helped you through another year with him.
Yeah.
You need to talk turkey with him. Prudence.
Wow. No religious puns?
Mm-hmm. Tell him if he insists on wearing the crucified frog t-shirt, he's not welcome at your family table. Stay calm and explain that if he knows he can't be a respectful guest, you must disinvite him because you will not subject your family to his behavior 2 years in a row.
Maybe he doesn't want to be there. Right. That's what that sounds like to me.
It sounds like there's a lot more going on with the family. Who knows? Like, maybe he's been quiet all this time.
Maybe they've been, and maybe this is the end of it. Like, he's tired of it.
Yeah, there's got to be.
It has to be something. There's a build up to this.
Yeah, because nobody, like, in there is just going to come out with this and be that kind of, that offensive and that pointed.
It's an interesting thing. I said, I'm not a religious person, but I also don't really kick it with religious people, so this doesn't happen to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't end up at, like, you know, a Baptist celebration. I'm just like, I can't get it. You know, I'm not going to be there in the first place. So something must have happened.
Yeah. Tell him that while you completely respect his right to his own views on religion, his insulting and insensitive behavior is forcing you to reexamine whether you can continue in this marriage.
Yeah, okay. There must be. I mean, this is why I'm saying, like, can someone who is very religious be with someone who's an atheist?
They can be if they respect each other. But I mean, they not do this kind of stuff.
I mean, like, someone for whom religion is, like, something that is a big part of their lives. I don't know if this is going to work.
Right.
Because if these people are really religious, like, what's happening when he goes over there? Is it, like, God all over the place? You know what I mean?
It might be just God all over.
Yeah. And like, it's just oppressive.
Here's my feeling. If you go to somebody else's house and they are God all over the place because that's the way they are, you're in their house.
Yeah.
And you can't really insult them.
You can't
for
do
their,
anything. Just
don't
go there.
Just don't go there, or you have to just be respectful
just
of that.
Just deal with it, yeah.
On the other hand, if you are an atheist, people come over to your house, they can't
don't
pray.
Bring that shit. Yes. No,
right.
they
have
can't
to
do
just
that.
Yeah. You or know? They can say, you know, mind if we just do a blessing or whatever, but keep all other religious
yeah.
talk out of it.
Nobody wants to hear about that crap.
Right.
I'm sorry. I mean, you're just having a meal. It's Thanksgiving.
Right.
Thanksgiving is not a religious holiday, too. We already covered that.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, you know, side note, people are saying happy holidays. Happy holiday. Have a happy holiday. No, it's just Thanksgiving. It's not a religious thing where you have to, like, say happy holiday.
People have been saying that to me, too. Are they just kicking off the holidays? I've been noticing that people have Christmas trees up. Is Hanukkah coming early?
I don't.
Is Kwanzaa upon us? Without us knowing about it.
No.
I was thinking that people were saying happy holidays because maybe there's the Jewish holidays are happening.
No, not yet.
Oh,
no.
So it's just like...
It's just Thanksgiving at this moment. After Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. start with the happy holidays.
Because nobody really says happy Thanksgiving. You could say have a good Thanksgiving.
I say happy Thanksgiving.
When do you say it? Have you said it to people already?
I said it all day at work.
Oh, so today.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is people were saying things before today.
Oh.
So if it's like the day before Thanksgiving or, you know,
mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving Day, yeah. But you can't start saying happy Thanksgiving to people well in advance. I think that's why people are saying happy holidays.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they just want to get that war on Christmas started early this year. I'm ready. Anyway. So
anyway,
what's Mr. Crucified Frog have to say?
So with the frog thing, I think that he is outnumbered. He probably has been...
He's tired of it?
He's been through it all, and this is the way he's handling it, which isn't a great way to handle it. But I think that a lot of the story is being left out.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's already saying, if he's doing this to my family, we may have to separate. Maybe...
You might have to separate anyway.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I think that, there's just a lot that we're
there was
don't know.
A guy on the train on the way here today who sneezed, and somebody aggressively was like, God bless you. And he didn't say anything.
Just
and then someone
you.
Else said, thank you. And it's like, first of all, I don't know if the guy heard you or not. Second of all, like, that's just a weird old superstition, and who, you know?
Yeah, just, or bless you.
But they were halfway down the train.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? And they were saying it as if, like, no one near him had bothered to say it. I'm like, I'm not saying
anything.
I'm
the only one looking out for this guy.
Yeah, I'm not blessing anybody. First of all, it's the reasons behind it was that, like, your heart supposedly stops and you could die, I think is the mythology.
Your soul can sneak out of your body or another spirit can get in you when you sneeze.
Yeah, and what if this guy is like, dude, I'm a Buddhist. We think sneeze is all right. You don't have to bless me from halfway down the fucking A train.
Well, you know what? I say, if anyone wants to send you a good wish, take it in whatever form and don't be offended. But don't, if I decide to say bless you to somebody, don't get offended. And
I'm
then I
saying,
can't get offended if you don't say thank
I'm
you.
I'm just saying, are you going to actually bless me or are you just putting it out there?
Well,
because we were, Greg and I are
that's
watching,
a hypothetical. You know I can't bless
I know.
You.
That's what I'm saying. We are watching a show and there's this guy called Ralph Saatchi. He's like a retired NYPD guy. And now what he does literally is bust ghosts. So he goes, and you'll appreciate this because you're Catholic. He goes, or maybe you can clarify. He goes into people's homes and he performs exorcisms. He's not a priest. This is wrong. Like, I'm not religious and I'm not Catholic, but I still feel like, shouldn't there be like a priest type in there?
Oh, that has gone through the whole ritual thing and the blessings. Yeah.
Right. Because isn't in the religion, like, only priests can do the exorcism. Am I right? Or can it just be a retired NYPD sergeant?
Well,
who was
Catholic?
Loosely. He never said he was Catholic.
Well, maybe he's Catholic.
But so any Catholic person can now just go out there and start busting ghosts?
Well, guess here's something.
You're
right.
A priest, right?
Guess who can baptize a baby?
Who?
Anybody. But in the case that, like, usually priests can baptize a baby in the
mm-hmm.
Catholic Church. But as a kid, like, I was taught in Catholic school.
In a pinch, you
can
do
in
it.
In a pinch, I can do it.
Okay.
I can bless water in a pinch.
Really?
And if this is the example.
You never mentioned this to me.
This is the example, though.
You got skills.
If you come across a car accident
mm-hmm.
and the people are lying on the road and there's a baby
mm-hmm.
who is lying there and you know.
And they're a heathen?
And they have not been baptized, then you, as a little kid, can bless some water and baptize the baby.
I wish you would. With my last dying breath, I would shield my child from that. And be like, someone tried to throw water on my kid when we were on a hot road. Like in the middle of nowhere, bleeding out.
Do you know how badly I wanted to do this?
You were looking around.
I was looking.
You listened to a police scanner.
Man.
Are they heathens? Was there a kid? Are they on the road?
I'm there. I have my bike ready.
Just have a spray bottle. The point is, and I just want, I just, my point
my
was,
banana seat bike with a basket with the flowers on the front, put the spray bottle in that, right up on them, bell bottoms.
You're just going up and down the turnpike. What's that little girl doing? Don't worry about it. But the point is that, like, I'm not Catholic, but these people are. The people who are doing the exorcisms are, and the people who invited these people to their homes are doing it. And it's like, that's like, you're not taking it seriously. Right. If you're going to buy into this exorcism stuff.
If you believe that that's the power, then you have to go through the right channels.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, I've only really seen The Exorcist, and I went to Catholic school for 2 years. So that's, like, the sum knowledge of my... You know,
that's what I think.
But I don't think just a retired NYPD, and he comes in and he is rude to these ghosts. He is abusive.
Well, that's what the technique. You have to irritate them to draw them out.
But then afterwards he tells the people, I don't want y'all talking about this either. I don't want anybody mentioning this. He's like, and then he says,
but he has a show.
If you don't see anything in 3 to 5 days, you're clear. But if you do see something, just ignore it. I'm like, so basically your stuff doesn't even work. You don't even have, there's like no guarantee. He's like, if you see something...
Say
ignore
something.
Ignore it. No. He didn't say said ignore it. At 3 to 5 days.
That's like the opposite of what a cop should say.
Exactly. And he reads. It's like he's got printouts that he reads from. He's not even with a Bible. The whole thing is sketchy. Yeah, is what I'm saying. Anyway.
But back to this advice. Also, the advice for the husband is to get another like image on a T-shirt.
Get a better T-shirt.
Yeah, like that. Consult with somebody in comedy.
Yeah. See a comedian.
Yeah. See, like. Get a shirt that even these
is that
people
an evolution?
Be,
like get like the get
no,
the
I don't
like,
know what the frog means.
You know, get the feet. I mean the fish with the feet on it. You know, I mean something like the Darwin fish. Like get something going that makes sense. I don't know what the cross.
There should be
with
something
frog
like
frog on it means.
Like there should be a play on words. He died for you, so it should be some other. Died needs to be like
his hair or something like that. Like there needs to be something humorous. About
yeah, there used to be like a hairdresser on the cross, and it should be he died for
well, just see, in,
you know, like hair
problem.
Died.
I'm 100% with you on that. That's a better idea. But this is the problem with atheists, and also I'm a libertarian. Not a lot of humor.
Yeah. So they got to step up the humor.
Yeah.
And
good luck to them.
Be nice to each other in their own homes.
It sounds like
and just drop.
It sounds like he's acting out.
Yeah,
like he just was
there's,
like,
there's something else going on with that family.
Well, thank you, Special Agent Jay.
Yes, Operation Cubicle.
Yes,
listen to that podcast and follow them on Twitter.
Yeah,
and,
it's an award-winning podcast.
It is. Yeah, JP Fairfield and Agent Jackson.
And if you listen carefully to the beginning, the opening segment, the song, you can hear us at the end of it.
Yeah, very
very
singing.
Quietly
and
well,
laughing.
Kind of saying we're rapping, I think. I think we're rapping.
Okay.
All right. So I've got some hashtag penis news.
Oh my goodness.
Dick updates. Member on the move.
This is Jaquetta's favorite segment.
Scrotum stories.
Yeah.
So this is coming from, I believe it was from China. Man has penis removed from inside nut.
What?
So the nut in question is kind of like a nut, you know, like a screw and a bolt.
Okay.
They call it a nut, which is just unfortunate. It says, then there's a picture here of doctors and firemen sawing off the iron nut. This guy somehow got his dick inside of a bolt.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how small the bolt is.
What was he doing?
Aspersions on him, but a bolt's pretty small.
A bolt is, it depend. Maybe it was
a large
bolt. An industrial size bolt.
But why was he, like he was literally screwing it, I guess. Like, what was he thinking?
Just trying different things out.
Yeah. We're not entirely sure how it happened, but the man had to be freed from an iron nut after getting his penis stuck inside. He spent 10 hours at his home in northwestern China trying to release himself from the nut before going to the hospital. How awful is that? It says...
Release himself
from the nut. By which time, the penis had started to turn, quote-unquote, a funny color.
Ooh, that's scary.
He told rescuers that he tried to hack it off, the nut, not the penis.
Yeah.
And he also tried to unscrew it, but it wouldn't come off. And they show here the pictures of
Did he try butter or some oil?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it was 10 hours. He probably tried everything.
She should have submerged it in cold water to reduce swelling.
To shrink it down.
And then applied a lubricant.
But you know what? Because it's like one of those cock rings, right? Doesn't it keep the penis more, like it channels the blood flow so that the thing is large? It's not coming out of the nut.
Right, and as soon as he applies the lubricant, he has to start again.
He's
going to
go all over again. He should have put the magazines away. Doctors at the Yulin Sunshine Hospital called the local fire brigade. Oh, no. So after 3 hours of drilling and sawing and cutting on this nut, The penis was finally freed. I think that that doctors and firefighters have probably a funny thing. If I were a doctor at a hospital, anytime something with a penis came, I'm like, we gotta call FDNY. I'm sorry, I don't know what to do.
They have the equipment to handle this.
They handle penis issues all the time, and they probably get called and they're like, really, guys? Really? Firemen? And then they do it. There was no permanent damage to the penis. His pride, however.
It was.
Yeah. He refused to tell rescuers how his penis became trapped in the iron nut. This is on the rescuer. If I'm rescuing someone's penis from a nut, I'm not doing it until I hear the full story.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, I'd like to help you out, but I need to know exactly how this penis got in here.
Yeah. Because we need to know the point of entry. Like, what was the entry method?
Yes, what happened? How did you get it in here? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a kid when you get something stuck in your ear or your nose.
Or like, how did the kid get in the claw grab toy machine?
Exactly.
There's kids climbing there all the time. It's like, how'd you get in there?
You stay in there.
And they're just like, I don't know.
I would leave them in there and bring other kids by and be like, see what happens?
Yeah.
We don't pay attention. So the penis is now free, everybody. You can relax. Oh, they have a picture of the tools. These are things that I would not want near my penis
if I had one
or anyone else's. It was a jaw of life.
It's like a horror movie.
Yes,
it's like a slasher movie. Saw.
Anyway, so penis news.
Very nice. Weird.
You're like just trying things out. Like it's looking around the place like, hey, what's this?
Yeah.
Can you get my penis in this? Oh, shit. I can.
Because that's how some guys think. They see anything and they're like, can I put my penis in it?
Wow. Yeah. We should just start leaving things out. Anyway, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Oh, Tales from the Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, ghost stories, fake lore, folklore,
spooky
urban legends,
stuff.
Spooky tales,
yeah.
And we retell them here on the Digital Campfire. So, gather around.
Gather around, listeners. This one is called The Blonde Doll.
That sounds scary already. Yeah. Blonde and doll? Forget it.
So, I have had many experiences, but I've never actually seen a ghost. I do believe in them, but I thought, I'm also afraid that one day I may see one.
Okay. All right, fine. That's all you want the preamble?
Yeah. This experience of mine happened when I was 5 years old and my sister was 9 years old and we were living in our previous house. I may have been young, but I remember this experience.
Okay.
One day my parents went to a garage sale and brought two porcelain dolls, one blonde in a green dress and one brunette in a pink dress.
Okay.
Those are nice colors for those hair colors.
Yeah, it works.
My parents bought these dolls for me and my sister. I own the brunette, my sister owned the blonde.
Mm-hmm.
I love my doll, so I put it away so it wouldn't get damaged.
Uh-oh. Now I see what's
in a drawer, right?
My sister, on the other hand,
yes.
Flung hers about the place.
My doll was perfectly harmless, but the other doll was not innocent at all.
Okay. She'd been around.
In the green dress.
Yes.
Isn't there a tall, no.
Oh, devil in a blue dress.
Devil in a blue dress and a tall,
cool woman
in a dark dress.
Yes. In a black dress?
With stripes.
Really?
I don't know.
With stripes?
I'm
with a little frill around the collar?
And that's the dull title of the song.
Yes. By Little Richard.
Yeah.
Okay.
My sister put her doll on display in her room.
Mm-hmm.
When it was time for us to go to bed, my sister turned her lights off and went to sleep.
As one does.
I was also asleep until I woke up in the middle of the night to hear her yelling out for my mother. My mother rushed into the room and asked what was wrong.
This is going to be the most annoying part of parenting. How many times do you get to cry wolf?
Yeah.
You know?
I need water.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
I hear...
I need water? That's such a kid thing. I'm thirsty. Great. Good.
I need a nightlight.
Yeah.
All right. I could hear that what she said was, considering my room was right next to hers, she said there was a man in my room saying mean things.
Okay.
My sister was terrified at what happened. To this day, she had not told us what it said. My mother comforted her and told her to tell it to go away if it comes back.
That's such a clap. Well, if you see him again,
tell him to get out.
Tell him to fuck off.
Yeah.
Ask him if he has a brother.
Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
These creepy experiences of hers didn't stop there. After this night, my sister moved the doll into another room because of her experience the night before.
Mm-hmm. How is the doll connected to the guy?
She just had a sense.
Was he a doll merchant?
Yeah, right?
Like,
well, she kind of figured, like, I got this new thing. And
he wasn't here
before. After this night, my sister moved the doll into another room because of her experience the night before. It was another night, and therefore we had to go to bed once again.
What?
That's how it works.
Yeah.
I woke, you know, all every day you have to eat.
Yes.
I woke up once again to my sister yelling out
for
my mother.
As you do in the morning.
My mother came rushing into her room again, and so did I. We asked what was wrong. She said the creepy man came back.
Okay.
My mother
was like, where the fuck is the doll?
It's my doll.
Yeah, really?
My mother comforted my sister. My sister then noticed the doll had returned to her room and was lying on the floor. So being the supernatural trash we are, my mother put salt in my sister's room. Probably a bad idea.
Okay.
And I just have to say,
did you look this up?
I looked it up. Yes, yes. They're from Australia, and the word trash means like a super fan.
Okay.
Like a really, they're into it. So they're into the supernatural stuff.
And they are not saying that they're white trash.
Right.
Okay.
So they put salt in my sister's room. In the daytime, we packed the doll away and never touched it for a month after that.
Okay.
Until 1 month later, my brother said he saw a little girl in his room.
Wait a minute. The appearance of a brother in the story changes everything.
Yeah, right.
He's moving this doll around.
Right. And he asked if it was one of us, but it wasn't. My brother was cleaning out his room, and he found the doll under his bed. We all freaked out because of my sister's experience with the doll. Again, being the supernatural trash we were.
Supernatural trash.
We burnt the doll.
Wow. Yeah, okay. One month. Is that like an accepted methodology for
I think objects? You can burn it and you have to bury it and you have to say things. You have to say prayers and stuff. There's like a ritual that you have to go through.
I feel like you should pee on it, but that's just me. I feel like that should be in there. Okay.
1 month later, we found her foot in our cabinet drawer, which was super freaky because we burned it.
And it's just super freaky because it's a foot.
It's a foot. When you find a foot anywhere.
That's like, you know, shot across the bow of your ship right there.
Yeah. We threw the foot in the trash hoping that it would be the last of it.
That foot came back.
A year later, we moved into our current house. We had been to the house in the house for 2 years until one day we were sorting out our junk and furniture. And out we found a shoe and a lock of blonde hair from the doll.
Remember
and
this?
Again, we burned it. We haven't found any more from the doll since then. This is not fiction. It was just creepy. I have more experiences and we'll share them soon.
That's creepy.
And then I read, there were some comments.
Okay.
And one of them said, and I had never heard this before, that dolls were created originally to house the dead.
Yes.
They were not supposed to be toys.
They're like a talisman isn't the right word, but it's like a cage.
Yeah.
For evil.
Yeah. And that's, or any kind of spirit. So if you want to
That goes back to like, you know, like some African like traditional dolls that we've seen. Not dolls in the sense of like we're going to play with them, but it's like a totem.
Yeah.
Of some kind. Then you capture something.
And capture a spirit in it.
You put it into this doll. It's a spirit or a feeling or something. Yeah. You put it in this doll and then it's captured there.
And that's
forever.
What dolls are supposed to be.
That's why I don't like those motherfuckers. Yeah. I'm telling you right now.
That's why they're scary. And they're
scary.
An industry.
Well, I think anything that's like a little representation of a person like that is weird.
Yeah.
You know, that's like very a human looking thing that you play with. That's it. I like that one. Yeah. That foot. The foot came back.
Yeah. Anything that's old that you take from somewhere else, it's like, I don't know about this. You have to check out what's going on in your house afterwards.
See, that's why I always, because I don't really believe in anything, but some things like that creep me out.
Yeah.
And it's even just the idea of something being attached to a doll is enough for me not to want. Because I know how my imagination is. I don't need that.
Yeah, that's right. Because you're a creative person.
Yep.
And
I
you
don't
have
need
an active
that.
Imagination. And so do I. And so that, oh yeah.
You want to freak somebody out in your life, listeners? Put a doll foot. And their desk. Can you imagine if you just went to work one day and it was like, great. Ah,
it's a dolphin.
There's a foot here. Then you go to show it to someone, it's not there.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I have an interesting thing here about apps.
Yeah.
So we all are aware of emojis. Even Katie and I, we now use emojis.
Of course we do.
My favorite emoji is the Easter Island one. I don't know what that means, but I like to send it. It says there's nothing more frustrating than not being able to pronounce the word frustrating and not being able to find the right emoji, especially when you're sexting, which I didn't know people are still doing.
I'm just sexting. Imagine that everyone's like 60 and they're like, kids, are you out there sexting?
Yes. It's like a PSA.
Like what?
Don't sext. Arousal is dangerous. And the expression of sexuality equally dangerous. Just don't do it. And they show them a picture of like a cross with a frog on it. I don't know. It says, so there's been a problem, I guess, that people don't have enough emojis for sexting. They've been sending pictures of fruit and vegetables and things like this, and it's not enough. But there's a company out there now called Flirtmoji. Mm-hmm. And so it says the days of using peaches to represent lady parts may become a thing of the past. So they have new 5 vagina emojis.
Oh, is that what it's there for?
Yeah. That's what the peach. I hope you didn't send it to anybody.
No.
Don't send fruit.
Oh, I thought it was just like, oh.
I thought it too. I was like, oh, that's cool. There's a peach on it. No, it's a vajayjay.
Oh.
So.
Is that what the banana is then? I've sent mm-hmm. the banana.
Well, did you get a peach back or like what happened? More like, bananas?
I don't know what happened. I have to go back and look now.
You sent it. That person blocked you. You sent the banana, the peeled banana?
The peeled banana.
Hey.
What does that mean? Oh. I didn't mean it. I thought it was just like a joke, like a, you know, like
too
a banana
slipped on a banana peel.
Yeah, and that's like the for a
why
joke.
Why would
like,
they
have being funny?
But why would they have an emoji? Like we already have like ha lol. Why would a banana peel a half peeled banana be for a joke?
Yeah,
it's clearly for hashtag snooze.
Great. Sorry, everyone.
I didn't know about yeah everybody.
Misusing these.
People were excited. Now they're like, oh, but she just thought it was a fruit, dude.
Yeah,
I got it.
Right.
So it says they came up with these different.
What about the plums?
Same thing.
Oh boy!
Peaches, eggplants, plums.
All of that.
All of that is a penis or a vagina or a butt, possibly. So I downloaded some of the flirt emojis, and one of them is a banana with half a condom on it.
Oh.
2 watermelons together.
Okay.
For boobs. There's a wolf howling, which I didn't know. Like,
really?
A wolf howling. Okay. 2 bunnies going at it. A hot dog.
All right.
I hope you haven't sent that to anyone. And there's some Jello that's shaking.
Yeah.
But then they have some more overt ones. There's a bunch of sperm going in an upward direction. There's one. This is my favorite one. It's a butt that looks like a phone. I guess that's for call my ass up. I don't know.
Okay.
And then there's there's one here with a pair of Adidas
or
shorts.
Or jump up my ass. That's my
jump up my ass?
Jump up my ass is my new favorite thing to say, but I haven't really said it to anybody
yet. What does
it
mean?
It's kind of means like F off.
Okay.
That's what it means. But
this is going the same direction as the half peeled banana.
Yeah. In my mind, I think, I don't really say it to anyone, but
you're
I think it'd be
harassment
like,
suit.
Jump up my ass.
And then there's a picture of a pair of shorts that have a huge penis sticking out of them.
Oh.
So, yeah, a little more. It's a flirt emojis. It says, have better sex.
Oh, God.
I thought it was interesting. I had no idea that all of the, I don't know what half of the emojis mean. I only use a few of them. I'm really excited now that, I don't know if you've noticed these, but I've been able to send you African-American emojis.
Right, right.
Which is exciting because I was tired of sending the Simpsons hand color to everybody, because that's what it was before.
Okay.
It was like a weird...
Right.
I guess it was supposed to be a white person, but I know plenty of white people, none of them look like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what I'm thinking about? My niece and I often will communicate with emojis and tell stories and then try to explain what they mean.
I think it's different if it's you're using like a rebus.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a context for it. But
yeah.
Like, just, you know, if you're sending a dude a bunch of bananas...
It's not a good idea.
That's probably not a good
All right,
idea.
Sorry, guys.
It's like, hey, what's going on? Banana. It's like, yo, dude.
So that's why you were so confused when you showed up.
Yes.
And I was just like, hi.
Yeah.
I'm funny.
He sent me like a peach.
And I let him know I'm in comedy.
Is there like a dead chicken or an arrow through the head that we could send?
I know.
That's,
right.
Yeah.
Or the glasses with the mustache attached.
I think that's why we, as we get older, we need to keep abreast of these things.
Oh, my God.
Because that's the last thing I need to be doing is accidentally sending a colleague, you know, an emoji that means, like, I take it in the pack. You know? And I'm like, I thought it meant let's go skiing. I don't know. All right. What do you have?
Okay. Hey, this is an article. This is a Rent-A-Mom. Have you heard about Rent-A-Mom?
Why would you want that? I'm trying to rent mine out. Anybody want that?
Meet Nina Kay, the Rent-A-Mom for needy Brooklyn millennials.
Ew.
Stressed out urban 20-somethings missing a mother's counseling care can now pay for the warm-hearted presence of Nina Kay.
Wait, haven't millennials supposedly been, like, mommed to death?
Right, but they still want people to do things
they
for
want
them.
Extra moms.
They want extra okay. moms. So what she does is... this person who wrote the article was interviewing this woman, and she's saying that some of the jobs she has, she's checking in on a female student at Pratt who is recovering from neck surgery.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday, she's meeting a woman in her late 20s who recently lost her job and wants some motherly reassurance.
Did you get a friend?
Yeah, and then she's making arrangements with another client who asked her to sit on her bed while she cleans out her closet and offer counsel on what to keep or throw away.
What is, you know what? We don't have to worry about, you know, people forcibly taking over this country. We're just going to atrophy.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Do they have any idea what kind of problems real people have in their lives and how they deal with them?
Yeah, so she said the young woman's mother volunteered to make the trip to New York City to help with her daughter to do that, but it comes with the unwelcome quid pro quo, the flurry of questions about her love life. She'd rather pay this woman $40 to stand in.
Damn.
So that's the hourly rate the rent-a-mom charges.
$40?
But $40
an
hour.
You can't really mom it up. You got to be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more like anting it.
Yeah. Yes, it's the funkyant.com. Yeah. That's what I would do.
So, and her slogan is, for when you need a mom, just not your mom.
Wow.
And she offers motherly cliches from ironing to cooking for a shoulder to cry on.
Can you get any type of, like, I've always wanted to have, like, a Chinese mom. I think that would be interesting. I had a lot of Chinese friends. Their moms seem cool. Can I get a Chinese mom?
Why? What do you think that she's going to do?
I don't know. Just not be like my mom?
First of all. This is just one woman who's doing this. You only get her.
Okay.
She's 63. She's raised two sons. One is 31 and one is 27. Mm-hmm. Both working artists.
Okay. Is she an artist as well? It sounds like an art piece.
Yeah. She said she came up with the idea because she said, I told my husband that Benedict Cumberbatch came to me in a dream carrying a gold chest with a crystal ball inside that read, Millennial Mom.
Lay off the sauce, lady.
And she tells me that's what inspired Need a Mom, that inspired the business called Need a Mom.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really happened. She had a dream about Benedict Cumberbatch and was like, this is my new job.
And she's actually getting $40
an hour. $40 an hour for people, yeah.
Why did I go to school for 16 years? Yeah. Like, what am I doing wrong?
She said, I was doing these things out of the goodness of my heart, but I wondered if there was something else there.
And I thought, this is America. How can I make a buck off of this?
Yeah, she worked for 8 years as a substance abuse counselor in a methadone clinic. And she also spent her 20s in New York City, moving to Manhattan in 1974.
She was doing good work.
After graduating theater.
And she decided now to help, like, really sad millennials who either they want mom, but they don't want
the emotional
mom.
Baggage that goes along with it. Yeah. That's just like this is like with familial relationships. If there's a lot of emotional baggage, you can't have the relationship.
But I just don't know if I'm going to pay someone $40 a day. I have what's called a friend.
Yeah.
And they're free.
Right.
And you have to reciprocate.
Reciprocate these things for each other. Sure.
But how can you be sure that you're getting you might be getting what you want, but you might not be getting what you need if you're paying somebody $40 an hour.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And also it's like cheap therapy.
Yeah.
In a way. Weird. I mean, you know what? I should sick my mom on people.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. But I'll pay you. $40 a day. Go. Enjoy. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
All right.
What you got?
So I have here some robot news. Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robo-apocalypse.
Oh, it's happening.
It's happening right now. We said it was going to happen in 2015. It probably already did.
Yeah, and we don't even know.
We don't know that we're not robots.
Right.
You know, this could be a robotic podcast.
It could be complete.
Yep.
Completed the circuit.
It's done. So it's robot ethicists are calling for a new type of legal protection that would apply specifically to robots.
Yeah.
Robot rights. So you see, robots are going to get rights before my people do. Robot rights are familiar concepts in robotics academia. And there was a situation, apparently, where one man got into a brawl with a robot.
What?
At a mobile phone store.
Oh.
60-year-old Kichi Ishikawa kicked the robot clerk at SoftBank Mobile. And he said he did it because he didn't like the clerk's attitude.
Well, you know what? Sounds like me.
Yes! They programmed this thing to be a pain in the ass. Under Japanese law, he can be charged with damage to property.
Okay.
Sure, but not injury or assault.
All right.
And the robot ethicists are trying to change this. They want to confer more human-like rights to these toasters.
Sorry, no.
No! I'm 100% against with it. You on that. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, everyone on Earth doesn't have the human rights.
Human rights.
That
yeah.
we are born
yeah, humans
with.
Don't even have
you
human rights.
You're going to waste fucking time on, like, a toaster that gets sassy with some old dude in Japan over his, you know, his bank, his mobile phone situation.
Right.
It says here that...
That's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Robots.
I'm not apologizing.
I'm not apologizing either. I'm second.
I don't even know why that came out of my mouth.
Robot, because it's
probably because it's robots.
Yeah. Robots can already react.
Just in case we already have an overlord that I don't know about. Sorry.
We'd be the worst robots ever. robots can already react to basic stimuli, navigate complex environments, and use specialized quote-unquote intelligence to accomplish narrowly defined tasks. They're just programmed.
Mm-hmm.
They're just programmed. And they're advocating that robots have a third existence after people and property, deserving of their own legal protection. Anytime you're proposing legal protection for humanoids, it's important to remember it's not because of anything the robot is doing. It's because of how the human is reacting. Yeah, and I don't care.
Mm.
It's a property issue. Yeah, yeah, somebody smashes up your robot. Sure. Mm. But like this guy who shot the drone... He didn't kill anything.
Again, we can apply the cutesy-cutesy law
yes,
to this.
Cutesy-cutesy laws apply. We invoke them.
Yeah.
We invoke the cutesy-cutesy
if
mandates.
If your robot is so annoying,
yeah.
No, you don't. It can be destroyed
exactly.
under the cutesy-cutesy law.
Under the cutesy-cutesy laws. So Mr. Ishikawa lashed out against the robot because he thought it had an attitude, which is a uniquely human thing to do. His victim was a pepper robot, which is designed to read human emotions. I guess it didn't do it that well, otherwise it would have ducked, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Like, can't you tell when someone's about to thump you?
Yeah.
I can. Someone says that a person attacking a humanoid robot is worthy of special legal concern. The same person who kicks a dog might also abuse other people. No! It's different. Someone who's abusing animals,
mm-hmm.
that's completely different than someone who kicks a robot because
yeah.
they're pissed off at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people who abuse animals, yes, they're a danger because they might transfer that, you know, level of aggression to a human.
Right.
But if they just want to, crack on a toaster all day, call it whatever names they want to,
mm-hmm.
take a piss on it, do a suplex it, I don't care. So they're saying here, and this was disturbing. So they did, and you've talked about this before too, they did an experiment with 90 children in 2012, and they had controlled interaction with a humanoid robot named Robovi. And they said,
what?
Yeah. Majority of the children believed that robot had a mental state. They thought it was intelligent and that it was interested in something and that it could be sad. But children also have imaginary friends and believe in Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really see that that's like the best standard
right.
for things. Experiments suggest that robots can be perceived as something more than a collection of metal and electronics. Yes, of course it can. Anything can be perceived as anything.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't mean that it is what it is.
That's your own emotion that
yeah.
you're wiping all
and
over. Something that doesn't live.
It's gonna. What they're gonna have to do is they're gonna have to brainwash children.
Yeah.
Because anyone who's our age or older is gonna be like, no, it's actually not, and it's not human at all. There's nothing actually going on. But
right.
I just think I will be damned if a robot gets rights before like every human on Earth has like basic rights and is able to exercise those.
Absolutely.
I take a stand on robots.
Take the stand.
But next to them.
Well, I have here another listener email.
Oh, cool.
and
you heard this spiel from earlier. We'll read it. Well,
yes, yes, yes. So Scott R. says, I've listened to several of the recordings of your podcast. You two are hilarious. Racy, funny, and clever. What's not to like about that?
Oh, that's nice.
So thank you so much, Scott R.
Yeah,
that was
Scott
very
R.
nice of you. Thank you so much for listening. We
yeah,
appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for listening. I just wanted to mention to people, and maybe everybody else is more savvy than I am. Katie, you might already know this, but it seems like on iTunes, they're only giving 100 of our episodes. We have like over 200 episodes. So if you want to see the early episodes, you can go to our website, heyyouknowit.com, and you can download them from there.
Oh, yeah.
I think
all the early stuff.
Once you get past 100 episodes on iTunes, it's like, that's it. They won't really show the rest of them.
They won't show the old ones.
Yeah, especially because it's free.
Yeah.
So if you guys are looking for the other 150 episodes plus songs
right.
and other highlights,
it can go to heyyouknowit.com.
Yeah, check it out.
And we're all there. It's all free.
It's all free. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
I found a little rubber ducky in my purse.
That's
like,
what?
And I was like, what is this? And I realized I was at a party the night before. And
you're
they had, yeah.
Was it someone's house? They're like, where's my fucking rubber ducky?
No, it was decoration. It was like in this
event thing.
Space. Yeah. Okay. And I think I took it.
The missing duck has been found.
I don't think it was. There were a lot of them. They were all.
Oh, it was kind of like a takeaway.
It wasn't a takeaway. It was part of a display, but they were all loose.
Then
and I
was
like,
if it's a display item and I can remove it and if it's in my purse, it's a takeaway.
Small. It was like the size of my thumb.
Yeah, I'm saying that you're meant to take it.
But I was like, this duck, what the hell is going on?
I like it.